Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by sex and relationship coach and founder of Down to There, Pam Costa, to talk about how to navigate an open relationship after being monogamous for so many years. Topics include, what's it really like to go from a long-term monogamous relationship to taking sex classes, swinging, and so much more? Jealousy. How can you make it work in non-monogamy? Because, hey, it doesn't just go away. So your partner wants it rough, but just how rough should you be? And is there such a thing as being too old to play the field? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our website. It's awesome. You can also find me Monday through Friday on Sirius XM Stars, which is awesome. Also, you guys would love the show. It's 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday on Stars 109. And you can also get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And, ooh, happy Masturbation Month. Have you been celebrating? We've got some great tips for you coming in. Also, just so you know, you should be following us at Sex with Emily, wherever you are on social media, because we're there and we're going to be doing a lot of great giveaways this month. Here's the giveaway that we're doing specifically. You can email feedback@sexwithemily.com with the subject masturbation routine and tell us how you're going to switch up your masturbation routine and how you think it will improve your sex life. All the way till May 31st for a super special prize. And you know it's going to be sexy. All right, guys, that's our big giveaway, but we're going to be doing a lot of them on our social all month long. So be sure to find us. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Pam Costa. I know I did.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
We have the creator of Down to There and sex coach, Pam Costa. She's also a dear friend. We've been through a lot together. And I'm so excited to welcome Pam to the show. You can find her at downtothere.com and at downtothere on all the social media. Okay, Pam, you got your MA.
I did.
Holistic Counseling Psychology. So here's the deal with Pam. Pam had a high-tech career. She was at Apple, Facebook, totally like normal-looking couple. She's from the Midwest, right? Midwest.
I am, Illinois.
Her husband, Illinois. Yeah. Her husband, they're a good-looking couple too, by the way. It's smart. They both have exec jobs in their 40s.
Yeah.
And been together since you were together now how long?
Yeah, well, 23 years. It's our 20th wedding anniversary next month.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God. Wow, we've come a long way.
I know. It's
crazy. In the parent relationship. Okay, 20 years, like a lot of you. And a few years ago, Pam was like, maybe it was more like 5 years ago now or six. Pam was like, really? Is this all it's about? What's going on with sex? I'm going to paraphrase. We'll get into it. Like, I don't know if I'm having orgasms. I don't know what's happening. Sex should be better. I still love my husband. He's hot. It's great. But what do I do? And Pam started a movement. She started Down to There.
I did.
She started a website where she started talking about like what you were going through. And then, you know, and you guys can all check that out. So essentially they went from a monogamous couple to swinging and to opening up their relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's been a journey that you documented. A big transformation. And people still think they call in that is it possible? Oh, it's only for crazy people or weird people or nymphomaniacs or that could never work. And I always say, you know, I know a lot of people are really mm-hmm. healthy. And I send them to your episode if you'd like to hear more. Pam was on the episode with her husband a few years ago. We'll give you the name of that one in a second. You can check it out. So Pam is just wonderful. And then we went to somatic sex therapy school training together. And that's how we met. And we haven't caught up in a while. So I'm excited to hear where you've been going along on your journey. But I want to know, like, just starting from there, like, I kind of got it, right? What was going on? You were just frustrated sexually. Tell me what went on and where you guys are at.
Yeah, absolutely. No. So I was definitely not the person that like always understood sex and felt comfortable talking about it or, you know, that was not me because I was in this long-term relationship and we had like desire discrepancy and we ended up seeing a sex coach. And I learned all sorts of amazing things that I never knew that you talk to your listeners about all the time. And in the process, I actually ended up becoming a sex coach myself. You know, one of the things that it was so cool that as we learned more and felt more fulfilled in our relationship together, it was funny, like when we were starting to talk about opening up, there was like a personal part of me that was interested and like, okay, I'm teaching all these things to couples, to individuals, but like some of these I haven't even experienced myself, right? So there's like the professional part and personal part and all wrapped up. And so, yeah, we decided, gosh, it was almost about 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And I did so much research before because just like you were saying, I was like, I don't want to try this unless there's models out there of people doing this that's very successful, right? If this is just kind of it's always dangerous waters to enter into, right? But I wanted to kind of know that there were people out there that they really felt like this was additive to their relationship versus like destructive to it.
Mm-hmm. So you did the research and then you went out and you guys have successfully been able to navigate those waters.
We have, yeah.
And so can you talk about like how did that process go? How has that been? What would you say that you've learned now 3 years in? How has it impacted your relationship?
So your sex life? A lot of really positive ways, I'd say. You know, there's this idea that we have in the world, first of all, like whether or not you're even going to try non-monogamy or open relationships, I think just the concept that the default choice doesn't need to be marriage, right? That I think we kind of have this marriage contract that says, okay, this is what gives us safety and security. It's how you do things. And it can become just like a default choice instead of really thinking about how do I want to construct my relationship and what would I need need to feel safe and secure and also have fun and excitement. And so even if you don't, like, even before we opened up, like the way that the process started, I did a lot of research. And then we actually talked with a therapist about, like, why would we do this? What would it mean for us? What would we be potentially getting out of it? What would the risks be? And I would say that even if we never, like, took the next step, even having those conversations was super rewarding for us. Like, we both talked about fantasies we've never talked about before. We talked about things that maybe, you know, just kind of acknowledging, you know, it's something as silly as, like, I mean, we outsource stuff all the time outside of our relationship, right? Like, my husband doesn't like sushi, and so I go have sushi with friends, right? So, like, even just, like, kind of acknowledging the fact that, oh, like, we can't be everything to each other,
right?
Like, that's not possible with the type of movie we like, the type of food we like. Does it need to be possible with emotional fulfillment, with sexual fulfillment? And so even just, like, cracking the door open to say, like, like, how do I feel like that? There's culture and society says this, but what do I really think about it? Like, that's honestly where the process started
right,
for us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it started there. And then what was it? Was it more like you found out through that process that you both, well, obviously brought you more closer together. So you experienced some more things sexually. So I'm sure it was just, did it go from, how was your sex life prior to that? And then when you started going through this process, how would you say it changed? If you give, like, a specific example.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to use, like, the food analogy. Like, you know, when you come together, you're both going to cook the dishes you know, and you might not ever think to try something else. And same is true in sex. Like, you just do the things you know, but then you, like, date someone else and they try something new and you're like, oh, wow. So sometimes what that means is we bring it back to the relationship. Like, oh my gosh, I tried this thing. It was amazing. Do you want to do it together? Yeah. This is fun. And then other times it's kind of like, oh, I did this thing and I really like it, but I don't, like, do you like this? And I'll say, so it's kind of interesting.
Saying when, after you opened it up, that's what you've realized.
After, yeah.
Oh, okay.
After
yeah. No, I was thinking more like I was kind of pre-open up how you guys got closer together, but that's,
saying
when you open it up, you're with other people and you're like, this guy did that. And so that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that I think that people, and I know you've done a lot of work, which I'd like to talk about, but they would be thinking, oh, Emily, this is crazy. If my wife came home and told me that this guy went down on her and did some crazy thing where she saw fireworks coming out of her vagina, then I literally don't, I'm so jealous. I can't handle it.
Right.
I mean, you guys have done a lot of work on it, but that really, like, what has happened to the jealousy?
Yeah. I mean, in the first year, I would say we went through a lot of, like, ups and downs. Like, the highs were really high, the lows were really low, because you're playing in an arena that you don't, you haven't played in before. We don't have a model in society of how to deal with big feelings around stuff like that. And it was funny because he ended up being a little bit more, like, if I would go out and I'd bring home, like, a sexual story, you know, he would kind of pause and be like, okay, how do I feel about that? And it was funny because it wasn't the sexual stories that when he brought home, sometimes he would bring home a story like, oh my gosh, we went to the movie theater. And then after the show was over, we ducked into the next theater. And I was like, what? You did not, you know, because, like, I was more threatened by the, like, more the emotional components,
right,
or the
like
playful
just sat next
components.
To each other, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I just got jealous for you.
Right? Yeah.
I just had second degree jealousy. I did. I get it.
I know, right? You did. Your eyebrows kind of raised. Like, he did what?
I don't care that he did her doggy style outside the movie theater, but what
exactly.
I do, but I'm so bummed that they snuck in together. Did they get another popcorn too?
Exactly.
They spent 6 hours together watching movies? What the fuck? Get him on the phone. Right. No, right. I got it, dude.
Well,
right.
So here's the thing about jealousy, right? Is it is never about what's happening outside the relationship. It seems like it is, but it isn't. It's about how that's a reflection of what is or is not happening inside the relationship. So when he did that, the reason I was like, what the, you know, it was that I want more fun in our relationship.
Right.
And that was an example of fun.
Right. Like, maybe 20 years ago, you guys snuck into a movie theater in college, but not since then are we playful.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, you know, or if I had this great experience, you know, sexually, like, maybe, you know, he wants more variety sexually. And so anytime that jealousy shows up, if I can think about it more as a a great red flag that something is needed inside our relationship and really get curious about what it is that I want in our relationship, then it actually helps us. It right, doesn't hurt us.
It's a learning tool. You turn that red flag.
Yeah. I feel like
when you turn it green. I don't know.
I love it.
I don't know. Like, really, you know, so it's like, they would say you paint red flags. What is it? You paint, okay, yes, you got it. So paint them green, but you could be like, so now when that happens, you stop, because really what you're saying is like, you guys didn't have, you weren't playing enough. And so now, does that work now? Does it switch it? Does it not as painful? Is it really?
Absolutely.
Like, it makes so much sense though.
Absolutely. That's why I would say like the first year was the hardest year for us, because there was just so much of that, right? It's like, oh, you did, because there were so many firsts, and right. You get to find out how you react to all these different things. I mean, you can talk about it as much as you want ahead of doing it, and you still are going to miss the things that really throw you off, right?
Yeah, and you can't plan for them, right?
You cannot plan for them. You can make as many agreements and all these things to keep you safe, and then there's something silly that is going to totally sideswipe you.
Yeah.
And to be resourced enough in that moment, or have enough of a social support, or have the therapist that can help you like get to the bottom of, wow, it wasn't malicious. It's not anything against your relationship, and it means something about what you need in your relationship, right?
No, I think it's a learning tool for sure.
Yeah. And then there's other things that you'd think would be so alarming. You know, maybe I'd tell the story to someone else and they'd be like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh, like that to me was just a relief.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like, so it's interesting. So one of the things that we had tried before we opened up was like, we tried all sorts of different things sexually. And one of the things we tried was shibari. I don't know. You've probably talked about it before.
Tying
it's
like up. Tell them.
Yeah. It's like Japanese rope bondage. And we had tried a class, and it just didn't work for me.
Right.
I was like, I'm bored. I'm like, this is not sexual.
Can we just get those Velcro handcuffs?
They work a lot easier. Oh my gosh. Right. I was like, this is just not, like, I'm going to fall asleep.
Right.
So I wasn't into it, but you know what? He was kind of into it.
Oh, interesting.
And so we kind of just let it to bed when we were together in a monogamous relationship. But when we open up, I was like, oh my gosh, honey, like, you should go out and find a girlfriend who wants to do that, because then you can do it. And that's so cool. And
right.
I don't have to. And I feel better about not having to. So sometimes there's things like that that I actually am not interested in doing in our relationship. And honestly, it's a huge relief.
Right. You're like, thank God.
I mean, right. It's
you're
so
like, can he go home with his family for Christmas too?
Right. Right.
Can I outsource, you know?
Yeah.
But I always tell people, you're going to set boundaries. You're going to talk a lot. You see a therapist, I think, is amazing.
Right.
But what type of open relationship do you have? If you've explained some things you figured out in 3 years.
Yeah, there's so many different, I mean, once
rules,
you just, once you go away from the marriage monogamy thing, you know, it's like choose your own adventure. You get to define it. And people use all sorts of different terms, and they have all sorts of different rules. And yeah, I mean, I like the term open because I feel like it's the most free. Like,
yeah,
I can,
open.
Yeah, this week I can be like, oh, like, I really, you know, I want to date a couple, or I want to date a guy or a woman, or a, like, I want to do whatever. Like, I just feel very free
right.
with that term. So we have very limited, like, rules or structures at this point. We've tried a lot of different things, and at different points in time, you know, one of us might want like more variety, and or maybe someone wants a longer term relationship. So it's
have you had like secondary partners now? And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So he has someone he's been seeing a couple years at this point.
Wow.
And then, you know, other people, and I've
know.
Had, yeah.
And do you have a few you too?
Yeah. I probably have one that I've been seeing maybe a year.
And how so how does it work? Like, well, first of all, you have a kid, you have a son.
Right. I'm so busy, Emily. Like, I don't really have time for this.
Well,
like, it's
you,
crazy
like,
time,
how do you
right?
Like, how much time do you, how much
I
time
don't.
Do you see?
I,
so like
honestly,
once a month?
I don't. No, I mean,
once every 3 months.
Where we've kind
you guys
of
are freaking busy.
No, I wish. No, I need it more than that.
Okay. Once a week. Okay, keep telling
yeah.
me.
So yeah, I mean, I'm a mom and I have a job and I, you
you're
know, I'm a wife and I need time to myself. I'm an
yeah.
introvert,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
like,
yeah. right?
Yeah, but for us, like, where we've kind of landed is like once a week feels good.
Okay.
But if
for
you have
each
multiple,
of you.
Multiple partners, you know, you end up seeing them once every couple of weeks, every 6 weeks. I mean, it's not a very
right.
It's not like a primary relationship,
exactly.
right?
So,
I don't have the bandwidth to maintain. So that means it limits the type of people who might be willing to date me, right? Because I will be very present with them. I'll be totally emotionally available, physically available. And there won't be a ton of communication between. There'll be a little because I like it a little bit. But yeah, that's what it looks like for us. Wow. And of course, for everybody else, it's completely different
right.
too.
No, right? But that makes so much sense for where you guys are at that it would be that. And that finding, so how do you go about finding people, finding these partners for yourself?
Well, you know, it's the modern age. So there's online dating.
Go online. Yeah, is there a place that you found on, that has worked for you, a website or a thing?
OkCupid's nice because you can select non-monogamy. Although I think it's pretty good. I think my husband's experience with that is that the women are pretty good. Guys, I found as I'm looking through the guy dating pool, non-monogamy is sometimes code for affair. Mm. So I have to kind of discern because I'm really looking for people who are openly non-monogamous. So it's very nice right. for me to feel like everyone's in the know here.
Right.
So OkCupid's fantastic. And Real World, I mean, I've definitely
go to play parties and stuff like that.
Or even just like, hey, I'm at a restaurant and that person looks nice.
And then what do you say? Do you like, hey, I'm married, but I'm open?
I do. Yeah. My profile says it. I say it right up front.
I love it.
I'm just, it's,
you,
you know.
You must be just a master communicator right now.
You know, when something happens when you go over 40, you're just like, I can't anymore.
No.
Like, I'm just going to be super straightforward and just like lay it out. And if it works for you, then it's a good match. And if not, that's no problem. There's more people.
Exactly. Let's keep going. I think that's such a great message for anyone, though, feeling this dating thing, whether you're just looking for one partner or many, is that there's so many people on the planet. So not to get caught up in the rejection or the weirdness. Mm-hmm. You know, if it doesn't work with someone, they ghost you, it doesn't work, it's a bad date. Keep moving.
Move on. I was so grateful. Like one of my very first dates, this guy after the date, he said, you know, that was a great conversation and I'm just not that attracted to you. And I was like, first I was like, ouch. But then second I was like, oh my God, thank you for just like being honest. Like I don't have to have any more emotional connection. I don't have to wonder. It was, and so I have taken like, thank you, random guy. I don't even remember your name. but thank you for saying it so honestly.
Yeah.
And so succinctly. Wow. And like, I will do that on dates now.
So do you do that? You say, I don't feel
absolutely.
The chemistry. What do you say?
Yeah. I'll be, because it's always a good conversation. People are interesting, right? So it's always a good conversation.
Always a good conversation.
Sometimes your body's not responding. And
but
that's
fine. Do you want to say, I know, do you say like, I'm not attracted to you? Or I just like to have, I don't feel a connection.
I'll say, yeah, I'm not feeling any chemistry.
Yeah. Chemistry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not attracted to you. Ouch.
I know. It's harsh,
and
right?
I can't imagine someone's not attracted to you. Everyone's attracted to you. Speaking of being attracted to you, you're seeing women now too. Dean, I haven't seen you in 2 years and the whole world's changing.
I know.
So
it's
when
crazy.
How has that been navigating that?
Yeah, that was really interesting.
When did
because
that come
I
about?
Did not expect that.
I've been heterosexual
my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was so weird because like that, you know, suddenly I felt attraction for a woman for the first time ever.
Was it a particular woman?
It was.
Oh, okay.
And I am, and so of course, you know me, I immediately go to the research and I was like, I'm a middle-aged woman. Is this normal?
I am middle-aged.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe like third age. I don't know how long we're going to live, right? Okay, so I'm over 40 and I'm attracted to a woman for the first time. What is happening? So I go and I look up the research and sure enough, women's sexuality and attraction changes their whole lives.
Our entire life.
Entire
Absolutely.
Lives.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm normal.
It's not static, right.
You know, I felt like, okay. And, you know, I talked to Paul. I said, hey, you know, I felt attraction before we were open and we didn't open because of it. But then once we were open, I said, hey, like, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And of course, he was very supportive.
Right.
Although it was really cute because when I did have my first experience with a woman, because I didn't know, you know, I had this feeling, but I didn't know if I would really enjoy it.
Okay.
And then I did. And that was probably one of his biggest jealous moments.
Really?
Because not because he was like worried that he was going to like lose me to this woman, but like, the experience I had, he's like, that's the experience I want with a woman. You know, that's just kind of like, wow, this is amazing. It was just amazing. It was amazing, Emily. It was so good. It was like, literally, I felt like this paradigm shift where I had never really understood why guys were so into women. You know, like when guys are like, oh my God, I want to eat you out or I want to do this thing to you. And I'm kind of like, really? Like, I don't know. You know, and then like I had this experience with a woman. I was like, oh, I get it. Like, women are amazing.
They are amazing, right?
Yeah, it totally shifted, like, my entire relationship with my own body. It was crazy. Okay, like mind more. Shift.
How,
yeah.
Okay, so how did you know? Did you make out? How did you know? What did you do in that first sex date?
We did. Well, she was really sweet because she was a friend. And I kind of confessed to her over lunch that, hey, like, I'm feeling this thing I've never felt with a woman.
And she's a lesbian.
And she's bisexual. Okay. And so she was really sweet because she was like, you know, I'm willing to help you figure out how bisexual you are. So it was like very low stakes.
That's kind
of hot. Oh my God, it was so hot. It was really amazing. And so, yeah, she just, you know, I went over to her house and I was like, I don't know where this is going to go. And it just, honestly, it felt really natural. You know, you get down there and you're like, oh, wait, I've got one of these.
Well, right, because that's the thing. Exactly. That was my first experience. I remember it's like, I was nervous and the woman had done it, but I was like, oh, like, right. I know what to do here.
Right.
Like, I got this.
Right?
Yeah. So yeah. You're just like, oh, I have these body parts. I have these things. So was the part that was amazing just like it was new? Like, you just, the orgasms, the connection.
Yeah. I mean, just the female body, I think, it's beautiful. It's complex. Like, you know, it's just interesting. And it's funny. I read, you know, Girl Sex 101 by Allison Moon.
I do have it.
Yeah. So I, like, before the date, I was like, oh my God. I'm gonna
Girl
read
Sex
this.
101 by Allison Moon.
It's right? Really good.
Yeah.
And so I was like really reading. I was like, okay, I got to get, because, you know, I'd never done this to anyone before. And so I was like reading. And man, that's a good book. I really learned some things.
Really good, but there's like pictures and drawings and cartoons.
Yeah.
It's great.
They're like, you know,
I have it at home, you guys.
Like,
I'll paint
use
it.
Your whole face, not just your tongue and your lips.
Yeah.
Like, that's like really important. Like, you have a nose and a chin and like all of this stuff that people don't, you know, guys are scruffy.
Yeah.
But women on women,
it's different. No, it's different. It's all
different.
Soft. And wow.
Yeah.
So he was just jealous because, jealous in quote, like, maybe he really was. Like, you had this intense.
Yeah.
Does he, you know,
it was one of those unexpected jealousy things.
Yeah, see, they just come up.
Yeah, they just come up.
Wow. But you guys know, how is your sex life one-on-one now? How has it evolved since this whole process?
Yeah, because we've learned so much more about ourselves sexually because we've had more experiences, right?
Yeah.
So some of them we've chosen to bring back into our relationship and be like, this, like I really
what?
Want
like
this. Well, one of the things that I've discovered is I really like slow. Like,
yeah.
Slow in all of the things. Like, it was funny because I used to be, like, at the beginning, like, going out on all these dates, I was like, wow, I'm, like, a total slut. Like, I will just have sex. I'm like, and then I realized, oh, I was like, oh, I like the slow, like, draw of it all. And so, like,
the
even...
The sensual seduction.
Yeah, just, like, do everything slowly. The way you touch me, the way you take off my clothes, all these things. So, like, I learned that through just having a lot of experiences and being like, oh, that one little thing there was different and I really liked it. So bringing that back in, teaching that to him, I think he learned that he, you know, it was so funny. Should I even talk about him?
Yes,
I was like,
totally.
Poor guy. No, he's very
awesome.
Comfortable.
He's
very,
the show.
Very comfortable.
He listened to the show. He used to listen to the show, the podcast.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things he learned that he really liked is like when there feels like a loss of control, when it feels like fast and so it's like, oh, wow. Like how do we bridge these two things? I'm discovering I like this and he's discovering he likes that.
He likes loss of control, like you being more dominant?
No, not in a dominant submission way. In a like freedom, like just like, you know, for me, it's like the slow attunement.
Right.
He's like, oh my gosh, just let's animalistic
right.
or something like that,
yeah.
right? It's
oh,
like
that
a different
control.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's so different.
Yeah, it's so different.
But I guess you get to play with it, though, too.
You
do. You could slow it up, then it's animal, then you slow it. I just love the whole thing of sex being, not being so linear anyway.
Exactly.
So you guys get to play together. So.
Exactly. Oh, and when you, I mean, I hear this from a lot of couples when they first open up that their sex life, like, overnight gets really hot.
Yeah.
Because, like, this claim you had is now, like, I love sharing. I love the concept of sharing.
Right.
Like, it's, like, the coolest form of like sharing economy ever.
Yeah, truly that you guys right. can share it and it fuels it and you fuel your relationship. I mean, I'm sure it's not even recognizable to how it was a few years ago. And so Pam, so tell me what you're up to now. You're coaching down to there is your website.
Yeah.
What else you're doing group? They can find it all at downtothere.com. What else can we find you?
Yeah. So
what can we do with you?
So so my, I work one-on-one with couples primarily. But the other thing I do, which I'm super excited about, is I host online conversations for women.
Oh, okay. Good.
So twice a month, I get women online together. I introduce a topic like masturbation. How did you learn about it? I'll share how I learned about it, how I do it. And then I click a little button and they go into like groups of like three or four women and they get a chance to share.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's so incredible. Like after the last one, I always ask women, like, how was this for you? What'd you feel? And this one woman, she had this great comment. She said, I feel so much more relaxed about being confused.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like people just want to know their own, they've normal. I'm like, we all need to just talk about it more and talk to your friends, be that person.
Yeah, so it's on my website.
No one knows anything.
Yeah, downtothere.com/circles.
I'm so glad you're doing that. That's awesome. You're doing such great things. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Pam, for being here. I do have the quickie questions that we ask all of our guests.
Okay,
so I'm going to ask you. Okay, what's your favorite part about your body?
Oh, I'll go with my vulva.
Oh, I mean, nice. Show, right? Of course. Yeah. What's your favorite personality trait in another person?
Presence.
How would you, that's a good one. How would you describe your sex life in three words?
Tantalizing, confusing, fun.
Okay. What have you not tried sexually yet that you'd like to?
Oh my gosh, I've tried
sexually. I know, she's like literally everything. I'm just, maybe they have no more bucket list.
Oh my gosh. I know that there's things. Oh my gosh, Emily, I've tried so many things.
What I know. It's okay. Well, that's amazing to me. what would you tell your younger self about sex that you didn't know?
It gets better.
Mm, I love it. And number one, how about number one relationship tip?
Connect with yourself first.
Mm, I love it. Okay, thank you, Pam Costa, for being here. This is awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. All right, guys. God, I love this. Love answering your questions. And if you want a question answered on the show, just go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or just email feedback@sexwithemily.com. However you do it, just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, thanks. All right, Jamie's going to read the emails.
Okay, this first one comes to us from Sophia, who's 37 in Portugal. Hey, Emily. I have two beautiful children, 7 and 3. The past 8 months, I've had anxiety attacks because my son was diagnosed with ADHD and has taken a toll on my sex life with my partner. A few weeks ago, he said he felt hurt that I don't have any sexual desire towards him. I started to research about ways to spice up our sex life, what I could do to improve, and stop being afraid of giving him a blowjob, something that he really likes. So the other night, I initiated a blowjob, and he was so surprised that he asked me if everything was okay. It was. I kept researching more when I found your show, so I asked him about his fantasies and that I wanted to spice up our life. He said I should stop reading about those things, that we should stick with what we got, because even if it's bad, it's what we know. I genuinely felt something shred inside me. Please, Emily, what should I do? Hearing that I give him bad sex was heartbreaking. Is our intimacy that bad? I don't know what to do. Send help.
Oh, okay. I got you here, Sophia. Thank you for your question. Sounds like you guys have a lot going on right now in your home. And I would just take a few deep breaths, because that's a lot to find out your kid, you know, has ADHD and then it's having an impact on you. And believe me, when we are anxious, when we're having anxiety in any way, shape, or form, the last thing we can do is focus on sex. So give yourself a break for a minute. And also, I bet your husband's dealing with some of this as well. So I would just say that you have to kind of pull back this whole conversation. And please don't, I don't think you should take everything that he said as the truth. Maybe he felt sort of threatened by the fact that you were doing research on sex life and feeling like maybe he was inferior too. Remember when we've never talked about sex with our partners. And this goes for men and for women. Whoever brings it up, we immediately probably go to, oh, I'm not a great lover. What am I doing wrong? And so he just shut it down. And then the words he said were hurtful to you. Just like, you know, he was probably feeling threatened by you wanting to go out and fix it. So I would just say that you guys just need to kind of work on your communication around sex. Because what it sounds to me is like you guys want the same thing. And so really it was just about the change, which is scary for both of you. It's scary for anyone in a relationship. When you guys are in a more comfortable place, when you're not under stress, you know, it sounds like you gave him a blowjob and then he was like, what's wrong? And then you had to talk in the moment, which is why I always say, have this talk outside the bedroom when you're not hungry, angry, lonely, tired, halt, remember that. When you are just the two of you, maybe the kids are sleeping and you're relaxing, you can say, listen, you brought up the desire thing and I'm telling you that I also agree it's something important that we should both work on, you know, if we're going to stay together. Every couple needs to work on it. What I've learned in my research was just that this is totally common what we're going through and that I'd love to find ways that work for both of us to go on an exploratory journey to make our sex life amazing. So what do you say about that? So I just think you need a little repair around some of the things that were said and then a reset. And then just kind of, you know, maybe you don't start with the fantasies, but maybe something else could be, well, what's the most memorable time we've had sex? Tell me your top three times. And then you can share your top three times and then start from there. Because maybe he doesn't have fantasies around it. So we just have to find the right language that works with our partner. Tread lightly, take baby steps, and then you're going to get there. And the most important thing is just not to take in all these things that he said so personally, because all I'm hearing here is, from my objective point of view, is that you both want to have amazing sex and connected sex and, you know, stay together. So that's my advice for you, Sophia. Keep me posted.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Noel40. No location given, but it's okay.
Okay, we'll let that slide.
Dear Emily, my question is about being enough for my recent lust interest. We have talked about some sexual things like rough play. I'm coming from a relationship where that was not appreciated, so I don't know if I will be rough enough. She's told me that my touch was a little soft. It set me back, and now I've been second-guessing myself. I want to tear her up, just not sure if I won't be rough enough. Help, help, what do I do?
Okay, this is great, Noel, because I read this, and I'm like, oh, you know, I think you just have to literally tell her exactly what you just told me and say, God, when I think about you, I just want to like tear you up. Like, I'm so turned on by you and I want to be rough, but I want to make sure that I'm rough enough for you. I don't want to be too rough. So like, let's practice this together. Why don't I try it? And I think whenever you're starting power play in a relationship, or you're roughing your partner up, or you're doing something, you always need to start a little bit lighter, a little bit softer than you would. So maybe you could say to her, hey, I know you said I was too soft, but that's just the beginning. Like, I want to make it rough. That turns me on too. Because see, you both want the same thing. Another case of you guys, it's a communication issue here. You both want it rough. How great is that? It's just a matter of getting on the same page. So I think you guys can create it together. You could even say, okay, I'm going to go a little rougher. And then you show me how you want me to handle you. You know, it's kind of like, if you make it more fun and like light and just be like, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do, what you want, I think that'll clear it all up. Instead of you being in your head, worrying yourself into a frenzy that you're not enough, she's going to reject you, oh my God, it happened in the past. Just be present with her, be honest, and then direct each other so you can have the roughest, hottest sex that you desire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one is from Mike, 37, in Illinois. Oh, I like this question. Hey, Emily, love your show. My wife recently started liking when I grab her ass and rub her opening over the sheets. So there's a layer of soft sheets between my hands and her body. I was wondering how I can heighten that even more with different fabrics and so on, and if they sell fabrics for touch like that in sex shops. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, I love this question, Mike. I was like, oh, God, this is so good, because I'm always encouraging all of you. This is what goes on. So when fabric... For women, when you rub the fabric like over her, I can't tell if it's like over her vulva or over her butt, if you were saying that over her ass, that that's what feels good, whatever opening it is. We have so many nerve endings, and so fabric can feel great, you guys. Putting fabric over your vulva, over any part of your body, and then like rubbing it, and like, because there's so many nerve endings. So I think you probably have some fabrics in your home that would do the trick. You know, you could, yeah, the soft sheets feel great, but maybe there's some silk or some cotton shirts or some ties or some, you can play with like different textures and stuff. And then you could also try a vibrator over the fabrics, which is going to be like a whole nother world of sensations. Because really what's happening is with all the nerve endings getting stimulated, there's more friction like on the clitoris or on all the nerve endings. So it's a great way to slow sex down too. I mean, to kind of build arousal and to build intimacy. There's something about having that barrier between like your hands and the touch and the whatever nerve endings you're stimulating that feel just amazing and can even bring a lot of people to orgasm. So I love that you discovered this, and I think just play with some things that you have around the home.
Mm-hmm.
Totally work.
Okay, this next one is Paulina, 37, in Mexico. Hey, Emily, just found your podcast a few weeks ago, and I'm enjoying it so much. I've learned a lot already. I've always been curious about sex, but I've married to a pretty conservative and shy guy who I love for 15 years, and I'm finally working up the courage to talk more about sex with him. I'm happy with our sex life, but I want to spice things up. I've been thinking about getting a vibrator, so I guess my questions are, should I talk to him about it before I buy it? Should I just get it and let him find out? Do I need his approval? Is it a good addition to our sex life, or should I get a less scary toy first? And finally, which vibrator do you recommend me, since I've never experienced with one? It is overwhelming the amount of options out there. Thank you so much for reading this, and I hope you get to publish that podcast transcript book you talked about.
Yeah, me too. Okay, Paulina, this is such a good question. First of all, I think we got to take a few deep breaths. I mean, you're not buying a house without them. You know, it's a vibrator. I'm laughing because I realize that it is a big thing in relationships. Like 15 years you've been together and you're like, oh, vibrator, what do I do? So I think, what I think is, you have two choices. These are my recommendations. Either start talking to him and say, you know what? I've been listening to this show and I think it'd be really hot to try some toys together. If there's a local store you can go to and check things out together, that would be awesome. I don't know the relationship with your partner. So my thing is, I would just buy one because this is really for you, and you could get a couple's one as well. I think a great beginner vibrator is, there's so many, and you're right, it is overwhelming. That's why we try them all, so you don't have to. A finger vibe is a really fun couple's toy. You could say, look, babe, I got this thing for us to play with, because he can put it on his finger and then his finger becomes a vibrator. You put it on your finger, because remember, vibrations are great for men too. So you don't have to make it about yourself. It's about both of you. There's a finger vibe. The Jopan Pave Liz is a great one. And then I think any kind of like small clitoral vibe that's easy to use during intercourse or during like foreplay, like the Plus One Bullet is great, or the Wee Vibe Tango. And then also the Hot Octopus has a penis ring, which is fun that you can wear during intercourse. It's called the Atom Plus. And I think if he is at all apprehensive, these are way less intimidating. Now, if you feel like, you know, you want to talk to him about it first, I think you can start the conversation and just say, hey, I'm really like, we've been together 15 years and I just think like I love the sex we're having, and I think we could have so much more pleasure together and like things we've never experienced, and just kind of start having the conversations. If you've been listening to this show, you know how I recommend it, but I think, I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm an overthinker, but this is overthinking. So I think like, what, you know your husband, you know what he's going to feel comfortable with. And I think go in there, look at one. And I think we had a great advice from Coyote, who was on the show, and she's been a buyer for Good Vibrations for 20 years. And she said, you want to buy something that speaks to you, that you're going to want to touch, that you're going to feel good about. So I would go look at the ones that I just recommended, go to our website, go to sexfamily.com, click on the shop page and look at them. Be like, would I want that in my hand? What would that make me feel if I saw it? I think that's such a great way to think about your first vibe. And these are way less intimidating, and I think they're going to feel good. So it's a great question, and let me know how it goes.
Cool. And then this last one comes to us from Brian, 60, in Texas. Hi, Emily. Been an infrequent listener of your podcast for years, but I find myself in a possible unusual conundrum. I'm 60 years old and lost my wife of over 19 years to suicide very early this year. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. I'm fortunate to be able to work from home, but now find myself missing social interactions. I'm not looking for a replacement wife, but would enjoy casually dating women in the area. I created an account on Tinder and have favorited several attractive women, all of them younger, but not so much so. I want to start socializing again. However, after a few email exchanges with women, it seems that the possibility of sex with no strings attached may exist. Certainly, the excitement is arousing. Safe sex is a must, but I'm wondering if I may be heading down a path that I may regret in the future. Am I too senior to be playing the field?
All right. Hey, Brian. Brian, you're 60. You are not too senior for anything. So I would not worry that you're too senior to be playing the field. First of all, I'm so sorry that you lost your wife to suicide. That is just tragic. And I can't even imagine that loss. And it was just a few months ago. You're saying the beginning of the year. So it's only a few months. So my suggestion is to maybe put yourself out there, continue to build your community or to reach out to people you haven't seen in a while. I mean, the apps are fine for flirting and they feel good and you might meet someone, but I think it's also great to make sure that you are continuing to expand and connect with your community, your social circles, whether it's like friends or religious groups or taking a class if there's something you've been wanting to try. I think that like sometimes meeting people in real life or just even connecting with men and women would feel great for you right now. So that's just my suggestion, that I would kind of focus on that. Your question is, may I be heading down a path that I might regret in the future? And I'm wondering if your regret is, I'm not sure what you think that, either you feel like it might be too emotional or there you might want more from it. I'm not sure what the regrets are, but here's the other thing about casual sex. So we have to all remember this, and I can't say this enough. It's not for everybody. Like, some people just don't have the constitution. They're like, I can't handle it. I'm too connected to this person. I don't want to sleep around. Or some people are like, yes, I have found it. This is what I like. There's no right answer to this. So sure, you can dabble in it. I mean, it wouldn't go on a few dates, see how you feel. But I think no strings attached is kind of tricky, because it's really hard not to get connected to people and not to have emotions and not to have sex get messy. And plus, with everything else you're dealing with the loss, I would just tread lightly. And I like that you're trying to, you know, find companionship. And I'm just suggesting that you try a bunch of other ways as well, rather than just like relying on the apps. Because that can also be kind of a bummer. I'm telling you, a lot of us go through the dating apps and we get excited, and then there's a letdown because the person's not what we thought, or we don't hear from them again. And it's just a lot of up and down. It's not as smooth sailing as it seems. Like even though the person might be no strings attached, like in your mind, there's still strings. It gets messy. And so I don't want you to have any more ups and downs right now. I just want you to take care of yourself. So I'm thinking of, building some more stability around you as you heal right now. Thank you for the question, Brian. All right, guys, thanks for all the listeners. Thanks for listening to the show and supporting the show and telling your friends and writing in and being vulnerable and sharing your questions and participating. I so appreciate you. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.